Well, good morning, Crossing Church. How you doing today? Oh my gosh, no. Why would you? Because I just asked, it's an easy question. Let's try that again. Good morning, Crossing Church. How you doing today? That's the right answer. That's very, very, very good to hear. My name is Jarrett Stevens, and my wife Jean and I pastor Soul City Church. And right in the heart of Chicago, but I want to tell you how good it is for me to be with this church. I love this church. For those of you gathered here or at Fenton or at Mid Rivers, or if you're tuning in from Grant's Trail, we are so, so, so grateful for your church. I can't express that to you enough. I've been coming down here for 42, 43 years, it feels like. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a relationship like this with any other church. I think they just forget to delete me from the calendar every year, and then they have to invite me because it's in there. But I am so grateful for you. We've learned so much from you. We're so proud to be partnered with you. I love and respect your pastor. I love your team. If you're new around here, maybe this is even your first weekend at any one of the locations, or you're tuning in, checking it out online, I need to let you know something. You have tremendous taste in churches. Because this is a great church, and they love God, and they're putting Jesus at the center of everything. And I hope this becomes a spiritual home for you, like it has for so many thousands of others. And I mentioned we pastor a church called Soul City Church, and what's so fun is, no exaggeration, every couple weeks, someone will come up to me after a message and say, hey, just wanted to say, hey, we're from The Crossing, and we're in town this week. And so it's so cool for folks that come up to Chicago for us to be able to worship together, and folks from our city have moved down here and just made this their church. We said, you don't have to shop around. We know exactly where you, we know God's will for your life when it comes to churches in St. Louis. It's this church. And many of you have known us. And when I first came, the very first year I spoke here, we hadn't even started the church yet. And as we have tried as best we can to be faithful to our faithful God, he's grown our church. And I'd let you know a couple years ago that we began a faith-raising project to buy land, which had become available to us next door to our church, the fastest-growing neighborhood in the country right now, our neighborhood. And by God's grace, he provided it for us. We began to triple our size and our space, opened our transformation center. Since the last time I was with you, and I brought a few pics so you can get an idea of who we are and where we're at. We are, like I said, right in the heart of Chicago, and we wanted to create a space that was open to the city and open to the neighborhood so anyone and everyone could come to hear about God's outrageous love for them. And it is so cool to see God use that space. When we were in our old space, we were gathering four times every Sunday. We would start at 8 a.m. and end at midnight. And that's how it felt. And it's so cool. We moved down to two services, and we were like, oh, there is a God, and he is good. Only two services on Sunday, and within 2 months, we had to add services again. And so it's so cool to see how God is bringing folks to this church and to that church. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your partnership. I want to share something with you today that I believe is critical to your spiritual growth. Something as you dive in, as Greg comes back this next week to kick off the dive-in series, I think what we're going to talk about here today really will determine your spiritual growth for this summer, if we get this one right. And before I get to that, I have a question I want to ask you. I want to know, and I want you to share with someone else around you, what's something you've always wanted to do in your life, but you haven't yet done? Maybe you have a formalized bucket list, or you have a couple things like, I really want to make sure I do this before I'm gone. I want to make sure I visit this place. I want to make sure I do this thing. I've always wanted to do it, but I haven't done it yet. And what would be a thing that you really, really want to do that you haven't done yet? Does that make sense? I want you to think about that for a second. Here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to have you at all the locations. I'm just going to have you share it with the person next to you. So everybody talk to somebody. And it's just going to be for 30 seconds. All you have to do is share what it is for 30 seconds. And I know what's going on right now. Introverts, you're freaking out right now. You're grabbing the nearest brown bag to breathe into it. I didn't come to church to talk to people. All right, so listen. Introverts, it's only 30 seconds. You can do that, right? Extroverts, it's only 30 seconds. Share the love, okay? Turn to someone next to you. What's one thing you've always wanted to do in life, but you haven't yet done it? Go ahead and talk for the next few moments. All right, you can start to wrap that up. Isn't that cool to hear from other people? How inspiring. You get a little picture, a little inspiration from their life. There's a couple things I'd love to do. I don't know if anyone here has ever gone skydiving. I've never gone skydiving. I'd love to go skydiving. And so here's a fun thing. We actually have a bunch of buses out front. We're all going skydiving today. So, no, wouldn't that? I know, that would be awesome. You would never forget this weekend. I went to church and I jumped out of a plane. There's a place I've always wanted to go. I've never gone. I've never been to Australia. I really want to go to Australia. Maybe you've been there. You know how beautiful. I don't want to hear about it afterwards because I already want to go. I already want to go bad. So if you know anyone or have family in Australia or know churches in Australia, let them know about me because whatever it takes, I want to get there in my lifetime. Now, I want you to think about that thing or the things that you want to do or places you want to go in your life. And I want you to consider this question. Why is it that you haven't done that yet? Like, what is it that's keeping you from doing that? Why is it that it's remained on a list, maybe for years and years and years, and it's out there somewhere in the future, but it's not happened? You know, why is that? And then I want to take it a little step further. Let's go a little step further. I want you to think about your life with God. And I want you to think about the things that you want to be true of your life with God. My hunch is there are things about your life that you want to grow in. I don't think you'd be here this weekend if you didn't want to grow spiritually. So I want you to think for a second, what are some of the areas in your life that you want to be true of your life? What do you want to be true of you? There's things that we want to do in life, but what is it that you want to be true of you? Like a year from now, if you were to come back and sit in the exact same seat, the person next to you would say, you are not the same person. You have grown in the area of prayer. Or you've grown in your understanding and reading, engaging God through his word. You've become a more generous person. Are there areas, I bet there are, in your life where you want to grow spiritually? And I guess my follow-up question to that would be the same as the first one. Why do you think that isn't happening in your life? What's keeping you from actually growing in those areas of your life? You probably have an idea of the type of person you'd like to be spiritually with God. All of us, no matter where you're at with God, have areas where you want to grow. So my question is, why do you think you're not? What's keeping you from actually growing in those areas this summer, this year? See, I don't think it's a lack of trying hard enough. I don't think it's a lack of time. I don't think it's a lack of resources. I don't think it's like you have a lack of vision for your life. I bet you would articulate, I want to grow in these areas of my life. I think it actually all comes down to one thing. I think the thing that keeps us from living the life that God actually promised you could have all comes down to one word, and that word is willing. Are you willing? What are you willing to do to have the life that God actually promised you could have, to grow in the areas where you know you want to grow? See, I think when it comes to life, there are sort of two fundamental approaches people take. There are folks who are wanting, they want to grow, they want to change, they have their big long list of all the things they want, and then there are the people who are willing, who are actually willing to do something about it. Anyone here who's ever tried to diet before knows the difference between the two. Anyone here who's ever tried to work out consistently or make any sort of change in your life, you know the difference between the two, don't you? You can want it all you want, but until you're actually willing, nothing changes. Nothing changes. There's all kinds of things we want in life, but it's the people who actually get up, show up, don't give up. Those are the ones who are willing. And I believe the key to your spiritual growth, wherever you may be at with God, is your willingness. Are you willing to do what only you can do to have the life that God has actually promised to you? And that's actually some really, really good news, because there's a promise that's found all throughout the Bible about God's faithfulness to you and your growth. And it's this. It's that spiritual growth isn't just possible for you. Spiritual growth is promised to you. That's good news, isn't it? Spiritual growth isn't just possible. It's promised. Now, I probably should have told you the rules of engagement at our church. When I'm preaching or one of our communicators is preaching, our church just feels like it's time to talk and it's time to dialogue and give feedback and all that kind of stuff. And when something good comes up from God's word, something good comes up on the screen, they let me know. They go, oh, that's good. They'll let me know. And so it just keeps me kind of like in the game. So I'm going to say this truth to you again, and I want you to say whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Okay, something like that, all right? So let me say that to you again. Spiritual growth is not only possible, it's promised to you. Hey, that's good news, isn't it? That's actually good news, is that you don't have to struggle and strive all on your own, hoping to grow. God promises you he will be faithful to you. He promises you in John 10:10 that you can have life to the fullest. In John 15, that when you are connected to him, you will grow. Everything God creates is created to grow. You are promised to grow. You and me. That's good news. That's actually really encouraging news. Now, there's also another truth that exists simultaneous to that truth. Another reality that we all have to be honest about, and it is this. Nobody coasts into spiritual growth. Nobody coasts their way into the life God created them to live. Nobody coasts into spiritual growth. The lazy river approach with God is nice, but it doesn't really get you anywhere. That you actually have to choose to be willing. My hunch is you've never come across someone who just says to you one day, I don't know what happened. I mean, literally, I just woke up and I just started praying. I started praying like for an hour. I'm literally praying without ceasing. I don't know why. I didn't do it yesterday. Now I just can't stop praying. In fact, I'm reading my Bible. I can't stop reading my Bible. I read it when I woke up this morning. I read it at work. I read it while I was driving. That wasn't safe, but I can't stop reading my Bible, and I'm giving to God like I've never given before. I'm just trusting God with all of my resources. I don't know what happened. It just started one day. Never happened. That's never happened. No one magically just all of a sudden transforms. It is all up to their willingness to partner with God. All kinds of folks have all kinds of things they're wanting to see change in their life, but ultimately it comes down to whether or not you are willing to do what only you can do. And I want to show you a picture of what that actually looks like. That decision, that choice between wanting and willing, by looking at a story in the Bible that paints us a perfect picture of it. And then I want to give you a little challenge, a little homework at the end of our time today to help you take steps into willingness. So if you would, grab a Bible and open to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. If you brought a Bible with you, we'll make sure to mark you down for extra credit. If you have it on your phone, that's awesome. Open it up, but just please only open that app. And if not, we have it on the screens at every one of the locations. You'll be able to follow along the screens. Mark chapter 10. Let me give you some context as to where we're coming at this moment in the life of Jesus. This is well into Jesus' public ministry. He's already chosen his disciples. He's traveling from town to town, telling them about the outrageous love of God. He's performed miracles, healed folks. He's built up quite a following. And as he's moving from town to town, different folks have little interactions with him. This is one of those. He is literally leaving town, and someone interrupts him on his way and paints us a perfect picture of the difference between wanting and willing. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Let's start there. As Jesus started on his way, so you get the picture there. He's about to pull out. As he started on his way, a man, what's the word? A man ran up to him. You might want to circle that, because just that word indicates the level of passion, intensity, desire in this person. You don't know anything about him at this point other than he ran up to Jesus. He did not want to miss his moment with Jesus. Ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Now, falling on his knees was a sign, a symbol of submission. He acknowledged Jesus' authority, recognized him as a spiritual leader, fell on his knees. He desperately, desperately wanted something. Would you agree? Now look what he says. Fell on his knees and he said, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? That's important to pay attention to later. To inherit eternal life. This is a man that we'll see in a second who had everything, but he wanted the one thing he didn't have, and he saw it in Jesus. He wanted it from Jesus. Now, this interaction with Jesus actually occurs in 3 out of the 4 gospel accounts. And several of those actually give him a title. We don't know his name, but they give him a title. They call him the rich young ruler. Have you ever heard this story before? Tim taught on this earlier in the year, this rich young ruler. We don't know his name, but we just from that phrase, rich young ruler, know a lot about him already. First thing we know is that he's, anyone want to take a guess? Rich. Yeah, I mean, the Bible wouldn't put it in there if he wasn't. In fact, just even to know that he was rich meant that he probably had he amassed great wealth. And it tells us he's young. That means that at a very young age, he climbed to the top of the org chart, that he is a person of influence, because it tells us that he's a ruler, that he's a leader, a person of influence. So he's young, he's rich, he's influential, powerful, and he probably had 0% body fat. I mean, I don't know, let's just say it's not in the Bible, but he's that guy, okay? You know what I'm talking about? He kind of had it all figured out, had that life, right? But he wants something that Jesus has. And so Jesus goes on to talk to him and gives him such a great Jesus-y response. Verse 18, he says this. He says, "Why do you call me good?" You know, and the guy's like, "Oh, God, okay, Jesus, just get to the heart of the thing." But Jesus wants to make a point. He's like, "Wait, you called me good teacher. Why do you call me good?" He says, "No one is good except God alone." What he's doing here is redirecting the man's attention, not to this thing that Jesus has that he wants, but to the one who provides it all. And he's reframing this man's understanding of what it means to be good, as we'll see here in a second. Verse 19, he says this, "You know the commandments." Jesus already knew that he knew all this. He says, "You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, don't defraud anyone, make sure to honor your father and your mother." And the guy's kind of checking off the list, and he's probably getting really excited in this moment. Verse 20, he says, "Teacher," he declared, "teacher, teacher," he interrupts Jesus, "all these I've kept since I was a boy. I've played by all of the religious rules." So not only is he a rich young ruler, he's also a spiritual somebody. He's someone who's played by all of the rules. And I know a lot about this guy because I was this guy. First half of my life, I was this guy. I mean, I wasn't rich, but I was young at one point. And I played by all the rules. I kept all of the commandments. I did it all the way I thought I was supposed to. I was a kid who grew up in church. In fact, I was so much that guy that I went to church twice a week. I not only went on Sunday, I came back on Sunday night for services. Then came back midweek at Wednesday for more church services. In fact, when I was 13 years old, I want you to listen to this incredible resume for a moment, if you will. When I was 13 years old, in 1 year, as a teenager, 13 years old, I was in the church choir. I was in the handbell choir because that was a thing for a while. Millennials, Google that. That was a thing for a while. I'm in the choir, I'm in the handbell choir, and I ran the puppet ministry at my church. What? That's right. I know what you're thinking. What a catch. I mean, Jeannie must be a very lucky lady. She is. That was all when I was 13. And I played by all the rules. In fact, I've told my parents so many times, "You are so lucky you had me. I was a good kid. I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, I didn't party, I didn't mess around with girls. I played by all the rules." Why? Because I thought that's what I had to do to win God's love and affection. I thought I had to keep a perfect spiritual GPA. And anytime I would mess up, which I would have to double down on more religious activity. Because according to my calculation, that's what God required of me. And in all of my religiousness, what I couldn't see was what was right in front of me. What God had actually already offered me that I was trying to earn when he'd already given it to me. It's what this rich young ruler couldn't see. In fact, he got to see it face to face, eye to eye with Jesus. Let's look at verse 21. Mark 10, 21 says this. Jesus looked at him and what? And loved him. I love that verse. Jesus looked at him and saw him for all of who he was, not his titles, rich, young ruler, spiritual somebody. He just looked at him as a child of God and loved him. All the other people saw what was on the outside. Jesus saw his heart and he loved him. These are the same eyes of love that Jesus gave to a woman caught in the act of adultery. He looked at her and loved her, someone who didn't play by all the rules. These are the same eyes of love that look at you. Every day, look at you. And Jesus says, "I love you. I love you." You may have a list a mile long of all the reasons you think he should love you. Or maybe you have a list a mile long of all the reasons he shouldn't love you. It doesn't really matter. He just loves you. He can't not love you. And I don't know what it is that you see when you get up and look in the mirror in the morning. I don't know what it is you say to yourself about yourself. The stories that you make up about yourself or that others have said about you throughout your life. I don't know that. I just know this. Jesus loves you. The simplest, most powerful transformational message. He looked at this man and in an instant loved him, not in light of all of his credentials, but in spite of them. He looked at him and he loved him. Let's keep going in verse 21. Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And then he said this, okay, one more thing to add to your list. One thing you lack, he said. And it's real small, it's real simple, shouldn't take you too long. Just go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. You'll have real treasure. Then after you've done that, just that real quick thing, sell everything you own, give all of it to the poor, then you can come and follow me. Now this is a pretty intense and incredible challenge, isn't it? It's a pretty big homework assignment. And do you think what Jesus was going after here was his wealth? Is that what Jesus was going after? He didn't need his money. What was Jesus going after here? His willingness. He was going after his willingness. As he looked and saw his heart and loved him, he knew that the stronghold of his heart was his wealth, all that he had amassed. And Jesus wanted him to be free, and he knew that to do so, he would have to be willing to let go of the hold that his money had on him. For this guy in particular, it was wealth, but it doesn't have to be. We all have different ones for each one of us, different challenges. And I want you to see what happens when Jesus gives him this challenge. Verse 22, when Jesus gave him the challenge to go sell it all and come follow him, it says this, at this, the man's face fell. And look at the difference, the bookmarks of the story. Remember how he entered the scene, running up to Jesus? Look at how he exits the scene. And he went away what? He went away sad because he had great wealth, runs up to Jesus, falls on his knees, passionately wanting what Jesus had. Jesus said, awesome, I see that, I love you. Are you willing to let go of that to follow me? And the guy at once gets up and walks away sad because he wasn't willing to let go of his wealth. For him, it was wealth. For lots of us, it's wealth. That is one of the last strongholds we have in really trusting God, which is true. But it doesn't have to be wealth. It can be a relationship. Maybe you're kind of wrapped up into the identity of a relationship in your life or the desire for a relationship in your life. Maybe for you, it's your career path that you've worked so hard to build. And the question is, would you be willing, not that you have to, but would you be willing to let go of all of that to follow Jesus? Maybe for you, it's your comfort. You really like the life you've built for yourself. You like how comfortable it is and how it all works. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the question is, are you willing to let go of all of that if it meant a breakthrough in your spiritual growth, if God asked you to? Maybe for you, it's something as simple as food, or maybe it's your phone. You know, your phone is such an addiction. You don't even realize how distracted you are. And you're like, yes, God, I want to hear from you, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Scroll, scroll, scroll. And we're unwilling to just put our phone down to be present with God for a moment. All of us have areas of our life where we have to take the willingness test. Am I really willing, or will I, in this area of my life, walk away sad because I'm unwilling to let it go? Let me tell you about a thing in my life that I really want. I know for me, one of the paths of spiritual growth, perhaps one of the greatest paths of spiritual growth for me, is stillness and silence. I don't know if you've noticed for the last couple of minutes, I talk a lot. In fact, they pay me to talk. All I do is talk, and all I do is listen to stuff. I always have one headphone in my ear, listening to a podcast, listening to a sermon, input, lots of talking. And I know for me, one of the most important spiritual paths of transformation for me, what I really want to be true of my life, is that I am someone who can sit in stillness and silence and trust that the world will be okay without me for the next 15 minutes. That God actually has it all under control. And I want that for my life. I want that to be true of my life. But do you know what else I want? I want to sleep. Specifically, I want to sleep in. Sleeping in is my favorite part of sleep. The last part of sleep is the best part of sleep, as far as I'm concerned, where you're holding on for the last possible second to where your alarm has given up hope, to where everyone else is up in the house, you're holding on. Why? Because I believe a warm bed is a gift from God and a taste of heaven. I genuinely want sleep, and I have to really ask myself, do I want sleep more than I want stillness and silence with God? Am I actually willing? to get up early? Am I actually willing to go to bed early the night before? Am I willing to put my phone in another room, not right next to my bed? Because if I put it right next to my bed, guess what's the first thing I'm going to grab for in the morning? Grab my phone, check my email, check the news. So I have to determine if I really want this, and I know, and I'm telling you, the days that I am willing, it changes. When I get up and I'm quiet and still, in fact, even this morning as I was getting ready to come here with you all, I had that choice. I had to get ready, had to get some things packed, had to get over here, and I had to choose and say, I think it all will be okay if I just sit down on this couch for a little bit and I'm still and quiet and trust God that you have more for me in the silence than I ever could come up with my own words. And I had to choose whether I'm willing. All of us have those areas of our lives where we have to determine. If you were to ask me, Jarrett, do you want to grow in your relationship with God? My answer is yes. Of course I want. Of course I want to grow in my relationship with God. If you were to ask me, Jarrett, do you want more silence and stillness in your life? I would tell you, yes. I know that it's good for me. It's good for my wife. It's good for everyone who comes into contact with me. If I actually have it, yes, I want this. Jarrett, do you actually trust that God is going to take care of everything while you pull away to be quiet and still? Yes, I trust that. But do you know what willingness is? My willingness is the test to my yes. It's easy for me to say, yes, I want it. Especially in a context like this where you're at church, it's easy to say yes to God when you're at church or you're in a small group. It's easy on a weekend like last weekend, a baptism weekend. It's so easy to say, yes, God, that's what I want. But you know what your willingness is? It's the test to your yes. Are you really willing to do what only you can do to have the life that God actually promised you could have? Now, you might be feeling a little like bummed out a little bit right now. Like, oh man, I don't know if I can do all this. Why'd they bring him in again? Like, when does Greg get back? Like, this is kind of a bummer message. I don't know if I'm up to the challenge. Am I even good at this willingness thing? Listen, let me encourage you. All I have is encouragement for you. You're actually already awesome at being willing. You're better at it than you know. In fact, there are things that you do in your everyday life that are all about willingness, you just maybe don't realize it. In fact, think about it. The outfit that you're wearing right now today, and let me just say this, you all look fantastic today. I meant to tell you that earlier, you look great. The outfit that you're wearing today, do you know that all of that is a series of willingness tests? Think about it. It's just something as simple as your outfit that you're wearing. Man, at one point in the past, you had to be willing to spend your resources on those clothes. At some point, you had to go to a store, or go to a thrift store, or go wherever, and buy those clothes. You had to be willing. Some of you are more willing at buying clothes than maybe you should be. But the point is, you were willing to do it at some point. And in fact, you were willing at some point to wash these clothes, my hunch is. Unless you came straight from the store, at some point you probably were willing to wash these clothes or to outsource it, to have them dry cleaned. You were willing to fold your clothes, to put them away. You were willing this morning to actually go to a closet or to a drawer and say this, that, those. You made all kinds of choices that you were willing to do. And we're all glad you did, because it would be really weird if you didn't wear clothes today. We're really glad that you did, right? That's all a willingness. I mean, unless you're watching online at home, and in that case, all bets are off. Who even knows what you're wearing? But the point is, there is a willingness test in your life every day that you don't even think twice about. The problem is, so often for us, it's the things that matter most where we are most unwilling. Because listen, there's things you don't even want to do that you're willing to do. Like maybe you work at a place, your job, you're not excited about going back to work tomorrow. For whatever reason, maybe you have a bad boss, a toxic environment, there's a drama with a coworker. You don't want to go to work tomorrow. You are trying to figure out ways to get sick later on today so that you don't have to go. You don't want to go, but you're willing to go because you know that going to work is how you pay the bills. You're willing to do it even if you don't want to do it. In fact, paying the bills. Who wants to pay the bills? Who wants to open the envelopes like, oh, I wonder what they have to say to me this month? You know what's coming. You don't want to do that, but you're willing to do it because that's what it means to be an adult in the world, true? So you face willingness tests all the time. The question is, are you willing to do what only you can do for what matters most in your life? Are you really willing? Now, for me personally, I have seen this up close and personal through a friend of mine who's going through the hardest season of his life. This is a friend that's very, very close to me, close as a brother to me, lives far away now, and so a lot of our relationship is over the phone or text messages, but we check in and check up with each other every couple weeks. And a couple of months ago, he called me, and I knew that he was having a rough year and that there was a big deal. He has a startup company, and there was a really, really, really big deal that they needed to secure to really make the rest of 2018, the rest of this year, work for them. And I knew that that was coming up, and he was kind of, you know, wasn't sure if it was going to happen, and he called and let me know that it didn't happen. And he wasn't sure how their business was going to make it this year. I bet some of you have faced that kind of financial challenge in your life. And then it was a couple weeks later that he called me, and he said, dude, you're not going to believe this, but my wife told me she wants to end the marriage. She's done. After almost 25 years of marriage, said, I'm done. I don't want any part of this anymore. I'm done with you. I'm done with this. We can figure out the details, but I'm done. And in tears, you know, you ever got a call from someone and they're already crying before they even start talking? It was one of those calls. And as I'm crying with him and trying to understand how they got here and all the different things that are swirling around in this world over the next couple of weeks, it felt like each call, each text message, the bottom just kept dropping out even more. And he knew that they, if they were ever going to save their marriage, needed some help. And so they decided that they would go see a Christian counselor together. I'm a huge fan of counseling. I've been doing it for 15 years of my life. Grateful for the counselors God's given me. So they started going together to a counselor. And as counselors often do, when couples come, they meet with them, and then they say, why don't we have a one-on-one, just you and me, after? So I want to keep meeting with you as a couple, but I want to meet with you as individuals as well. Yeah, that's a willingness test, right? I want to save my marriage. I want to go to counseling. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. Am I really willing? And so he decided, even though the business is kind of up against the ropes and finances are tight in their family, he said, you know what? It's worth it for me to have God save my soul and by his grace save this marriage. So he's been going to counseling every week. And he got to a point with their finances about a month or so ago where there just wasn't enough income to cover that. And so he had another willingness test. Do I really want this? I don't know how I can pay for this. I don't know how I can afford this. And so he began to look around his life and look around the house and say, what can I sell? And so he sold his motorcycle. He sold some guitars that he's had for as long as I've known him. Started selling off. He Craigslisted his life to pay for counseling. That's willingness. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll let go of whatever I need to let go of. I'll give up whatever I need to give up to have what God promised me I can have. And I pray that your life doesn't come to that moment, but I know from conversations I've had with you and from the way life works, many of you have had to face trials like that and much more complicated and difficult trials. And anytime you find yourself up against the wall like that, you have to ask yourself, am I really willing to do what only I can do to have what God promised me I could have? And so what I want to challenge and encourage you to do today is to get upstream from that and to say, what can I begin to do today to become all of who God said I could be? Remember when I asked you earlier in the message about what's an area in your life you want to grow spiritually? It's different for all of us. Maybe for you it's around prayer, it's around the Bible, it's around giving. Maybe for you, it's you look at what's happening at our borders right now, how families are being separated, and it's complex and it's complicated, but you've wanted to do something for the last 2 weeks. Maybe it's around that. What do I do? I don't know what I want to do. I want to give you a second to get incredibly specific about what it is that you want to do to grow spiritually and what you're willing to do about it. Does that make sense? So what I want to do is give some silence, a little time of reflection. I don't think we have this, believe me, someone speaking from experience. We don't have enough of this in our life. I want you to get incredibly specific about where it is you want to see God grow you, where you want to see a breakthrough this summer, where you want to see God move in your life this summer, and what are you going to do about it? What's the area that you want to grow in, and what are you willing to do about it? Does that make sense? So we're going to sit in silence for the next couple seconds. This counts towards my 15 minutes a day. And I just want you to be quiet and still and think, where is it that I really want to grow? What is it that I really want to be true of me? And I want you to get ridiculously specific about it. What is it and what am I willing to do about it? Okay? So let's just take a second. If it helps to close your eyes, think about it. My hunch is maybe you already know. But let's just take a moment of silence to think about that together. Okay. Now here's the deal. That little reflection, where is it that I want to grow? What is it that I want to see God move? How I want to see him move my life? And what am I willing to do? That's not your homework assignment. That was just studying for your homework assignment, which we're about to do. Here's your challenge. It's not as radical as the one Jesus gave the rich young ruler, but it's important, I believe, for you nonetheless. I want you to take that area that you want to grow in and what you're willing to do about it today, and I want you to write it down, and I want you to post it to social media. Whatever account you use, if you need your kids to help you log into Facebook, have them help you log in, whatever it is that you use, and be real specific. And this is what I want you to do. If you'd be willing to do it, say this phrase, I want to, and just name the area of growth. I want to grow more in my trust with God. I want to grow more in forgiveness. I want to grow more in my patience. And then the next line is, so I am willing to, and name the specific thing that you are willing to do this week. And I thought it'd be fun if you threw a little hashtag on it, Crossing STL, so that you could actually check in with other people and see in your church, come around other folks, encourage them, have other folks encourage you. I think this is a fun way, a little public accountability. I think it's actually a way to redeem social media, which needs a whole lot of Jesus. This is a way to redeem it and transform it, to use it as a way of saying, this is my declaration of willingness. I want to grow in this area of my life, and so here's what I'm willing to do. Would you be willing to do that today? Would you be willing to share that today? Your friends, followers, family may not even know what you're talking about on social media. That doesn't matter. God does. You do. And it's a way for you to put it out there, say, this is actually something I'm willing to do. Not just wanting, willing to do. This is where transformation really begins. It's not about wishing and wanting. It's about willing. And we talk about transformation in our church all the time. And we kind of define it like this. The work of transformation is really simple. You've probably heard me say it a number of times throughout this message. Transformation happens when you do what only you can do while God does what only he can do. You do what only you can do. You have to be willing to do what only you can do while God does what he is faithful to do, that he can only do and will always do. Like salvation, you can't do that, can you? You can't save yourself. Only God can save you. And the good news is God says, don't worry, only I can do that. And I already have. I've already made it possible to you through my son, Jesus. The one who was willing to endure the cross on your behalf so you could have a relationship with me. I've already taken care of that one. When it comes to forgiveness of sin, you can't do that one on your own. I've tried to absolve myself. I've tried to double down by being more religious. It doesn't work. But God says, don't worry, I can do forgiveness of sin and I've already taken care of it for you. When it comes to securing your eternity, you can't do that on your own. Only God can do that. He says, I've already done it. I've already prepared a place for you. When you say yes to me, your eternity is secure. Only God can do that, and he is faithful to do that. Opening your Bible up, only you can do that. God's not going to do that for you. Only you can do that. Getting up in the morning to be silent and still. God's not going to show up on my pillow side tomorrow morning and go, good morning, Jarrett. It's time. I've made you a cup of coffee. It doesn't work that way. God loves me too much. He says, no. Only you can do that. I guarantee you, I will meet with you. I will be there with you, but you have to be willing to do what only you can do. Trusting God with your resources, forgiveness, all those things that only you can do. The question is, are you willing to do it? And if you are willing, I believe anything is possible for you and God. I believe this can be a summer that you will never forget as you see God grow you like never before. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray with you and pray for you to close out this message. And I'd ask you at each one of the locations to stand up right now as we close in prayer. And we're going to pray that God would help us do what only we can do while he does what only he can do. And we take a posture of prayer around Soul City. If you've been around me or here before, you've heard me say it. I don't know if you grew up around church like I did, but I grew up, was told that this is the way you pray, folding your hands. That's not in the Bible. They just did that so you don't poke the people next to you and distract them. It's a great idea. We pray with our hands open at Soul City. We just believe that's a better posture. So here's what I want you to do. If you're willing, again, if this is too much for you, don't worry about it. But if you're willing, would you open one hand up and say, God, I am willing. And raise another hand up. Say, God, I'm willing. I'm in. You can count on me. This week, God, I want to actually be about what I want. I'm going to move it to the category of willing this week. Oh, this is a beautiful picture. I want you to look around each one of the locations, the folks just like you saying, yep, I'm willing this week to pursue God, to do whatever it takes. Let me pray for you. Let's close our eyes and open our lives to God. God, we need you more than we even know. Oh, how we need you. And we thank you that you've done all the things for us that we could not do on our own, and then you ask us to do what only we can do. You trust us to do what only we can do, to grow in our relationship with you. And Jesus, thank you that you modeled willingness to us. You modeled all the way to a cross and to an empty tomb so that we could actually choose and say yes to you. And so I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters, my friends of this church that we love so much, that this would be a dynamic week of willingness for them, that they would see things that they've put off on their spiritual to-do list actually move to the category of willing, that they would show up, God, that they would not give up when it gets difficult, and that they would see you move in their lives. God, I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit into our everyday lives, and that this church would not be the same because of their devotion, their willingness to do what you ask them to do. God, we love you, and we're so grateful for your faithfulness to us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Crossing Church. I love you so much. Thanks for having me back. Hope to see you soon.